Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the virtues of the miswak. Today we do the last three ahadith under this section. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal al-fitratu khamsun wa khamsun min al-fitrah al-khitan wal-istihdad wa taqlimu al-adhfar wa nadfu al-ibti wa qassu al-sharibi muttafaqun alayhi. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the natural disposition, fitrah, natural disposition, what naturally comes to a person. In other words, even if he doesn't have anything to guide him, this is something that naturally should come to a person. And this was, as we mentioned, the sunnat of all the Anbiya alayhi wasallam. The natural disposition of men includes five things. See the translation as we're doing it here. Natural disposition, it includes five things. Or five things are from the natural disposition of men. Number one is circumcision. Number two is shaving the pubic hair. Number three is clipping the nails. Number four, removing the hair from the armpits. And number five, clipping from the moustache. So here we see this hadith is saying five. The next hadith will say ten. This quite often happens in hadith. It doesn't mean that there's a contradiction or between the two ahadith. That when you got less mentioned and then in another hadith you got more. So the one that's less is not contradicting the one that is more. It's just saying that these five are included. And it's only mentioning five at this point. And in the next hadith here we'll see that there are ten. So five was mentioned in one hadith and then more were mentioned in another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a person shouldn't think in his mind that there's some contradiction. There's no contradiction. Sometimes a person mentions in general speech also, he'll mention a few of the many things, and then another time he may mention more. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, depending on the need, depending on the person that's asking, depending on the circumstance, etc., Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention, and not all the time he would mention everything. From different ahadith, we would get what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying. An Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر من الفطرة قص الشارب وإعفاء اللحية والسواك واستنشاق الماء والسواك واستنشاق الماء وقص الأظفار وغسل البراجم وندف الإبط وحلق العانة وانتقاض الماء. قال الراوي ونسيت العاشرة إلا أن تكون المضمضة. قال وكيع وهو أحد رواته انتقاض الماء يعني الاستنجاء رواه مسلم. حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said 10 things are from men's natural disposition. Number 1, clipping the moustache. Number 2, lengthening the beard. Number 3, using the miswak. Number 4, inserting water into the nose. When the person is making wudu, then with his right hand he inserts the water and with his left hand he cleans the nose. So inserting water into the nose. Next is clipping the nails, washing the joints. We find that there are very many joints in a person's body. To wash these things also are important. The joints, ulama explained, are places where perspiration gathers. For example, under the armpits, under the knees, where the joints of the legs are, etc. Generally, perspiration gathers at these places. So here to make it an extra point that when a person is having a bath, when he's washing, etc., that he washes these points, or washes these joints, removing the hair from the armpits, shaving the pubic, or removing the hair from the pubic region, and washing the private parts after relieving oneself. The narrator said, I forgot the 10th thing. What was the 10th thing? But it most probably rinsing the mouth when performing wudu. One more hadith and then we'll give a little bit of explanation on these things that we covered. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal uhfu al-shawarib wa'afu al-lihya muttafaqun alayhi. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, clip the moustache and lengthen the beards. Now ulama under this, they give some explanation. We may think that these are very simple things, but they are very, very practical for a person in his day-to-day life. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said here in these 10 things, sometimes you find ulama of tasawwuf, they make a whole bayan out of it, to teach their followers, teach their people, that these are not small things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. They got to do with cleanliness, they got to do discipline, they got to do with a person maintaining himself for himself, also maintaining himself. Imagine if people didn't observe these things, they were not careful about those areas of perspiration, they were not careful about clipping the nails, people were not careful about trimming the moustache, etc. How would they look? How would a person look? And not only how would he look, how dirty it will be, how filthy it will be. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us here, cleaning the nose, rinsing the mouth, all these things are very, very practical things, making miswak. These are practical things that have been taught to us. So a person is looking presentable, a person is presentable, a person is clean. So therefore Islam is teaching us cleanliness, and this cleanliness is something that is very, very important. So just a few things. Ulama, I say that inserting water into the nose is to clean it at the time of wudu. One should draw water with the right hand and use the left hand for cleaning. When it comes to rinsing the mouth in wudu, it is sunnah. Remember something, that it is sunnah in wudu. And when a person is having a ghusl, at that time now to rinse the mouth is faraz. It's necessary in times of ghusl. So be careful, sometimes we're making ghusl, we forget to clean the mouth. When fasting, it is makruh to gargle intensely. So when a person has got roza, and then to gargle, the reason why it is, when a person gargles means taking the water to the belly, not rinsing the mouth. This is talking about gargling now, is when a person allows the water to go to the throat, and he starts gargling by the throat, then it is makruh. The reason for this is, that if water mistakenly goes down the throat, then one's fast is nullified. His fast will break. So therefore, when we're fasting, it is makruh for us to gargle the throat. Yes, we rinse the mouth, that is still necessary. But we don't allow the water to go down the throat, so therefore we don't gargle. When clipping the nails, it is sunnah to commence. I explained yesterday, like how a person makes dua. He starts with the index finger of the right hand, and then he goes all the way down to the thumb of the left hand, and then last he does the thumb of the right hand. And the foot, he just starts from the right baby toe, going all the way this way, left, till he reaches the baby toe of the small foot. Now these things, as I mentioned, are simple things. But if a person practices upon it, then he's practicing upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One thing we see, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us discipline. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us etiquette. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us methodology in whatever we do. If you're not just haphazard, anything, anytime, we face any way we want to face, we come for namaz, if we decide today I want to face that side, tomorrow I want to face left, and left. Everything has got a method. When I go to the toilet, which direction I can't face, which foot I go in, which foot I come out, which foot I enter the masjid, which foot I leave the masjid. So teaching us methodology, keeping a Muslim all the time in check, that a Muslim is one that is organized, a Muslim is one that is methodical, a Muslim is one that all the time is paying attention to detail. This has been taught, inculcated into us by Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which other religion has got this? No one has got this. Such detail we have been shown, everything. Anyway, the next point is, washing the joints of the body is necessary because dirt generally collects at these points. Then it is preferable to pluck the hair of the armpits instead of shaving them. However, both are permissible. It is mustahab to commence with the hair of the right armpit. When a person is removing the hair of the armpit, it is mustahab, preferable that he starts from the right hand side. See, here again we thought which side to start from also. The pubic hair refers to the hair that appears around the private part of the male and female after a person reaches puberty, the hair that starts growing there. This is called pubic hair. It is also encouraged to remove the hair that grows around the rear of a person, so that when he is washing himself in istinja, he is washing his back in istinja, then it becomes much easier. If a person has got a lot of hair around that part, then it's difficult for him. So therefore it is preferable to remove that. If a person cannot attend to the pubic hair on a weekly basis, that is, he cannot attend to it on a Jummah, it should be done once every 2 weeks, or it can be delayed but not more than 40 days. If a person delays for more than 40 days and it grows longer, ulama give an example of more than a rice grain, then this person is liable for guna. This person will be sinful because unnecessarily he let the pubic hair grow. So this is not something that we should delay. We should try and regularly cut it, preferably on a Jummah. Washing the private parts after relieving oneself is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is preferable to use water, and today's times use toilet roll. In those days they would use water and they would use stones or clots of clay. But nowadays we got toilet roll, So therefore it's preferable. So therefore in our homes also, in our masajid, etc., we should try and make toilet roll available, easy for people to use water and toilet roll. So first the person uses the toilet roll to clean himself, and then he uses the water to remove whatever else, that remnants that are still remaining. Person first uses the toilet roll and then he uses the water. Also ensuring that when we are using the toilet, no splashes come back onto a person. So therefore sometimes it's nice to even put toilet roll onto the pan first, and then a person relieves himself so that no splashes come back and mess a person. And if, however, if the impurities exceed the boundaries mentioned in the books of fiqh, it becomes compulsory to wash with water. Yeah, if a person somehow messes himself as he's relieving himself, so now he must ensure that he washes himself properly and he cleans himself. I was explaining that if any remnants splash onto a person, and it is more than the area of a palm, a person's palm, his clothes get messed, for example, or his body gets messed, and now it's more than a palm, the size of a person's palm, then the salah won't be valid also. So therefore we must be very, very careful that if any najasat comes onto the body, it is one or two drops, then it is made maaf, it is excused. But if a lot comes, and it's more than the area of a person's palm, then the salah also won't be valid. So we must be very, very careful about this. To come to the last part of this hadith, we were told about trimming the mustache and lengthening the beard. When it comes to lengthening the beard, remember that to keep at least minimum one fist length is wajib. The practice of keeping a beard is both the act and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's obedience to Rasulullah. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam instructed us that allow your beards to flow. So this is a noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a demonstration of the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes we see some people got very long beards, some different sizes. So it's some explanation just to get an understanding why some people keep long beards. Some scholars, such as the Shafi scholars, are of the opinion that there is no stipulated length for the beard. It should just be left to grow without any interference, as the hadith state that the beard should be lengthened. Other ulama, they mentioned, no, the hadith implies that the beard should be so long that a person differs from the fire worshippers who trim their, they cut it short, they trim their beards. There is a view that it is permissible to trim the beard when it is longer than a one fist length. That is proven from the hadith, from the actions of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, his son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So this is the view of the Hanafi scholars. This is the view that we take, that when it is one fist, then a person measures one fist all round, and then a person trims his beard. But he doesn't trim it before it is one fist. And if he does trim it before it is one fist, then a person will be sinful. So the practice of shortening the beard less than a fist length, person making like a designer type beard, short beard, you see some people just keeping a goatee or something, just a small beard like that, less than a fist length, this is not the practice of any of the Sahaba, nor is it proven from any of the Imams of fiqh. Nobody ever gives any type of permissibility for this. So therefore we must be very careful, a person will be sinful. And ulama explained that this is such a sin that unnecessarily a person is getting. It's not giving him any enjoyment or anything. He's just keeping it less than a fist length. So therefore we should ensure that that the person doesn't just trim his beard like that, because this is not proven from anywhere. So this are these 10 things we did today are the 10 things of fitrah, 10 things of natural disposition shown to us from the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. I forgot to mention one thing, that it is sunnah to clean the nose when a person is making wudu, and when a person is having a bath, then also to clean the nose now is necessary, not just sunnah. If a person forgets to clean the nose, then also his wudu won't be valid. So wudu, remember, is washing the whole body, cleaning the mouth, rinsing the mouth, and cleaning the nose. Sometimes people forget to do this, so then the ghusl also will be incomplete. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.